aquí estoy. Vengo desde muy lejos, el camino fue negro, pero al fin ya triunfé.
Hello everyone, and welcome to my very first podcast episode. I'm your host, Joel Rosales. Creating a podcast is not something I ever thought I would be doing, and to be completely honest, I have not listened to many podcasts. With that being said, I do ask that y'all take this episode with a little grain of salt, as this is something I've never done before, so if I do hesitate or am at a loss of words, I do apologize, and ask that you bear with me. So jumping right in, my very first episode is going to be about the late international superstar, Jenny Rivera. For those of you who don't know, Jenny Rivera was and continues to be the most successful artist in all of regional Mexican music. She has been given the nicknames La Diva de la Banda, or the Diva of Band, La Gran Señora, the Grand Lady, and La Mariposa de Barrio, the Neighborhood Butterfly. She is widely known for her work in the music genres of banda, mariachi, norteños, pop, and many others. This episode will focus on her life before fame and the many hardships she endured, her life during fame, and her immense impact on the Latino-Hispanic community that still continues to be felt today, and a bit about what happened when she passed. Dolores Jenny Rivera Saavedra was born on July 2, 1969 in Long Beach, California. She was born to two very poor immigrant parents who had a total of six children. Being the oldest female child in her Mexican-American household, Jenny's life was very difficult and was full of many responsibilities. When Jenny was seven, her father entered her in a singing competition at a local bar. When it came time for Jenny to perform, she got on stage and began singing, but halfway through the song, she forgot the lyrics, panicked, dropped the mic, and ran out. Her father followed her, yelling in disappointment, and she swore never to pick up a microphone or sing again. She continued her life and went to school, but at the age of 15, she became pregnant with her first child with her boyfriend at the time, Trino Marin. When her mother discovered she was pregnant, she kicked her out of the house in fear that her father would become furious and uncontrollable. Jenny went to live with Trino and his family, who were not accepting of her at all due to the fact that she was born here in America. They wanted their son to date a woman that was born in Mexico because in their closeted minds, that was a true Mexican. It is extremely important to note that he was beyond toxic. He was abusive towards Jenny on many occasions and tried multiple times to stop her from continuing her education. He accused her multiple times of cheating on him, despite the fact that he was cheating on her, and on one occasion became so furious at her while she was pregnant that he pushed her to the ground and kicked her in the stomach. That would soon become the final straw for Jenny in leaving him. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Despite the abuse and his attempts to stop her from continuing her education, Jenny continued and graduated high school and became valedictorian. She then married Trino and had two more children with him. Against her husband's wishes, she continued her education and went to college to study business. But her volatile marriage led to depression and two suicide attempts, resulting in her having to be committed to a rehab center for some time. After years of enduring abuse from her husband in an attempt to provide a happy family dynamic for her children, Jenny found the courage to leave Trino and reconcile with her parents. Shortly after, she began working for her father's record company, Cintas Acuario. Her father always begged her to record an album and become an artist like her brothers, but Jenny was keeping true to her promise of never singing again. Instead, she earned her real estate license and sold a house her very first day on the job. She became a very valuable asset to the company she was with, and with the money she made, she bought a tiny house for her and her three children. One year, when her father's birthday came around, she decided to make his wish come true and record an album for him. When her father received the gift, he became ecstatic and asked if he could promote the album. Jenny reluctantly agreed. Time went on, and the real estate market wasn't flourishing enough for Jenny to support herself and her children. One night, when she was out with her friends, they dared her to go on stage and sing a song. After saying no various times, she finally said yes. She performed, the audience loved her, and she loved the response from the audience. That night was the night that her singing career began, and her life would never be the same.
Me dices que tú ya no me quieres, que el mundo y los placeres te importan más que yo. Por eso, desde hoy mismo te digo que sigas tu camino, que todo terminó.
Before I continue with the next part of the podcast episode and the parts to come, I do want to apologize. As this is a fairly long podcast episode, but it is important to know that it is important that the length be this long in order to include all of the important information about Jenny's life. And I also do apologize if there are any thundering or raining sounds in the background, as that is something that I can't control, and it is thundering pretty hard. But nonetheless, we will continue. So Jenny began singing for the sole purpose of providing a roof over her children's head and food in the fridge. She never expected to garner the amount of fame that she did and continues to grow today. Jenny began her singing career in 1992, but it began with little traction. She started singing in local bars to promote herself and would put up posters around town for her performances. At this time, Jenny's parents owned a stand at the local swap meet where they would sell records and music tracks. So Jenny's little sister, along with Jenny's eldest daughter, Cheekies, would sell Jenny's albums at the swap meet as well. As I mentioned before, her music career was not doing so great in the beginning, and her ex-husband, as well as many other men with power, took note of that. Her ex-husband would always tell her, "Stop singing, you sound terrible, and you look like a pig. You're never going to achieve anything or become anyone." This fortunately did not stop Jenny, but instead gave her even more motivation to keep trying, and her ex-husband would soon learn how incredibly wrong he was. Jenny wrote two songs that would eventually help launch her career further, but not without much hard work and obstacles. These two songs are called La Chacalosa, translated to Party Girl, and Las Malandrinas, which means Bad Girls, but not in a bad way, is what Jenny would say in an interview with Billboard in 2011. Jenny promoted her music by going to festivals and performing as an opening act, but oftentimes the men who hired her refused to pay her afterwards if she did not sleep with them. Jenny refused and instead went home with no money. However, Jenny would always bring her youngest brother, Juan, with her as sort of a bodyguard because the festivals were known to get rowdy, and especially for a woman singing the type of songs Jenny sung. On one of these occasions, after Jenny had performed and the man refused to pay her simply because she was a woman and, in his words, had no business trying to make a career as a singer, Juan forced the man into his car, where they then drove him to a far-out lake, stripped him of his clothes, and threw both the clothes and the keys in the lake and told him, "Don't fuck with the Riveras." Years passed, and Jenny managed to build a loyal fan base, but still struggled to break through. She would go from radio station to radio station promoting her albums and trying to get someone, anyone, to play them on the radio. One radio station, which is still around today, called La Que Buena, told Jenny they could not play her music because they were already playing her younger brother Lupillo's music, and they couldn't have people thinking it was the Rivera station. Jenny kept persisting as the man who owns the station, Pepe Garza, was a Rivera family friend, but it wasn't until Garza decided to host an award show called Premios de la Radio, which is the radio awards, solely for regional Mexican music because he felt that the genre was ignored by every other award show. When word of the awards got out, Jenny asked if she could perform as a chance to prove her talent, and he said no, but he would let her present one of the awards. Jenny agreed and still saw it as an opportunity for publicity. When the day of the award show came around and it was her turn to present an award, she walked on stage and screamed, "Where are all my party girls at?" Many of Jenny's fans were in the audience and they began cheering and screaming for her. Pepe saw this and finally decided to give Jenny a shot by playing her song on the radio, where it saw immense success.
Nos dicen las malandrinas, porque hacemos mucho ruido, porque tomamos cerveza y nos gusta el mejor. pedimos corridos.
At this time, she was still singing in bars to promote her music, and this is where she met her second husband, Juan López. They dated and got married in 1997. Jenny would have her final two children with him, totaling her number of children to 5, 3 girls and 2 boys. Now, this next part is very delicate and sad, so this is a content warning before I continue. In the same year they married, Jenny's youngest sister Rosie, who was a teenager in high school at the time, confessed to Jenny that she had been sexually molested as a child, and when Jenny asked by whom, she told her it was by Jenny's ex-husband, Trino Marin. They both became very emotional, but this was when Rosie told Jenny that he had also been raping Jenny and his daughter, Chiquis. Rosie said the only reason she had not said anything years before while it was happening was because Trino threatened both Rosie and Chiquis that if either of them told Jenny, he would kill her. At this time, Jenny was pregnant, and when she heard the news, she completely lost it and fell to the floor in tears, apologizing to Rosie for not seeing what was happening. She kept screaming, "Not my daughter, not my sister." It was vital to calm Jenny down so as to not cause any harm to the baby, and it took her entire family to calm her down. Jenny immediately filed a molestation case against Rino, and the two girls were interviewed. During the interview, Chiquis, who was still very young at the time, revealed that when it was her father's weekend and they were staying at his apartment, Trino would often molest Jenny's third daughter, who at the time was 2, and to prevent this, Chiquis would put herself in the middle in an attempt to essentially sacrifice herself to protect Jackie. They tested the girls and found significant evidence of rape, but the police said they needed more evidence, which of course infuriated Jenny, because how much more evidence do you need after that? They refused to arrest him and instead told her to continue letting the children go with him on his regular weekends in order to not raise suspicion as they were, quote unquote, investigating him. Jenny would make up excuses to not let the kids go with him, but she couldn't take it anymore, and the police still refused to do anything. Jenny confronted him when he tried to take the kids, and when he realized Jenny knew the truth, he fled and evaded justice for 9 years. He was finally caught in 2006 by a private investigator who heard Jenny's story and offered to help catch Trino. In 2007, he was sentenced to 31 years in prison. It is one of the most heartbreaking stories I have ever heard in my life, but it is essential when explaining the life of Jenny Rivera, because she made sure to advocate for child abuse and did not let the situation be in vain, but instead used it to save other children in similar situations. Now, in the case of Juan López, Jenny married Juan in order to stop his deportation back to Mexico because he had been caught smuggling immigrants to the U.S. During his prison sentence, Jenny shot the music video for her song, La Chacalosa, at the bar they met. She brought her youngest sister Rosie with her and Rosie's friend Gladys. The owner of the bar told Jenny she could shoot the music video at the bar for free, but the bar had to remain open to the public. In the middle of shooting, when she went to the restroom, she was stopped by a man who grabbed her and said, "Aren't you Juan's lady?" She responded, "Leave me the fuck alone," and walked away. She finished shooting the music video and quickly grabbed her things, took Rosie and Gladys, and left. After dropping off Rosie and Gladys, she noticed a car had been following them, and when she was getting close to her house, they were still behind her. She didn't want them to know where she lived, so she stopped and parked a bit before her house in hopes they would leave. Unfortunately, that was not the case. 2 men got out of the van. When Jenny saw this, she immediately opened her door and began running and screaming for help, but no one heard, and if they did, they did not bother to help her. The two men grabbed her and threw her in the back of the van, where the same man from the bar was. He began to rape her, mocking her with the words she told him at the bar. When they were finished, they dumped her on the side of the road and left. It would be months before Jenny told anyone what happened, because she knew they would try and get her to stop singing, but she was too strong to give up, and she found strength in recording music.
Mírame, es un placer saludarte.
Once Juan was released from prison, he spent most of his time helping Jenny and trying to grow as an artist, and he has featured in a few of her early music videos. The love between them was real, but Juan soon became envious of her as her career began to take off and decided to cheat on her. When Jenny found out, she was furious. She went to his work, made a scene, and exposed him to all of his co-workers, as the woman he was sleeping with was also married to one of his co-workers. Jenny then took his car keys and left. When Juan came home, he found all of his stuff burnt in the backyard. Now, if I was in Jenny's position, I would have done exactly the same, if not worse, especially because Jenny had already forgiven his infidelity once before, and while he was in prison, she paid his child support that he owed monthly for his other children that he had with other women. In 2003, Jenny filed for divorce, but Juan would not go quietly. He sued Jenny, demanding she give him money for his own apartment and that she pay alimony because, in his words, Jenny's career would be nothing without him, because he believed that Jenny owed much of her success to him, which I, for one, was very furious once I found that out, because yes, he did dedicate a lot of his time to helping her as an artist and growing and promoting her, but to say that she owed 100% of her success to him is just, it's disgusting and appalling. Now, Jenny was angry that he was taking her hard-earned money she made for her children, but she complied with the courts and paid him alimony. She instead made a diss track and dedicated it to him on her 2004 album, Simplemente La Mejor, which translates to Simply the Best. She, of course, began to fight the court's decision, but between her having to also deal with the molestation court case and her divorce court case, it would be some time before she was allowed to stop paying alimony. Now, regarding and switching the focus more to Jenny's rising success and the musical aspect of her life, in 2003, she signed to Fonovisa Records, and in 2004, she made history by becoming the first Latina to sell out the Ford Amphitheater in Los Angeles, California for her very first concert. At this time, Ticketmaster and other ticket buying websites did not exist, so instead, Jenny would promote the concert on the radio, and those who called in asking for a ticket gave their name and address, and Jenny and her family went door to door, personally delivering the tickets across all of LA. In 2005, she rose to fame in both the US and Mexico when she released her seventh major studio album, Parandera, Rebelde y Atrevida, which means party girl, rebellious, and adventurous, which earned her her first number one on the Billboard charts.
Sabes, disculpa el atrevimiento, pero es que me gustas mucho desde hace tiempo. Sí, yo sé que no eres libre, pero podemos ser discretos, vernos de vez en cuando, de contrabando.
The scandals of her marriage, the heartbreaking pain she endured, and her resilience is what inspired her 9th major label studio album, Mi Vida Loca, My Crazy Life. This album contains 13 songs, all of which are songs about her real life experiences, and each song contains an intro explaining why she chose the song and an outro where she thanks her fans for accepting her as she was, not listening to the scandals the media made up about her and her family, and for listening to her music. This album became an instant success, and as Twitter was launched during this time, she no longer had to depend on radio to promote her music and instead went on to do TV interviews and no longer has to deliver tickets door to door, but can now use Ticketmaster. As digital music was quickly on the rise, she took advantage and was able to promote her albums by putting them on streaming services, thus bringing them to a wider audience than ever before. This album contributed to Jenny becoming the most successful artist in all of regional Mexican music, because this was something that a woman, much less one of Mexican descent, had ever accomplished before. Now, this next part in the episode is one of, if not my favorite part of the entire episode, because this is where we finally get to talk about her accomplishments, her talent, and the immense impact she had on the community and those around her, whether that be through her singing or her charity work. And especially because Jenny was often told that she was too fat to make it, or that she wasn't beautiful enough. And yes, she wasn't a size 0 or a size 2, and she was curvy, but Jenny was proud of it. And she set out to show women and everybody in the world that you don't need to be skinny or meet societal beauty standards in order to make it. Now, in 2009, Jenny released her first full-length mariachi album titled La Gran Señora, The Grand Lady. This album peaked at number 2 on the Latin U.S. Billboard charts, was nominated for a Latin Grammy, and won the award for best-selling regional Mexican album of 2010. The album's success earned her the respect of mariachi legend Vicente Fernandez. On September 3rd, 2011, Jenny Rivera became the first artist, not woman, artist in all of regional Mexican music, a genre that is dominated by men, to completely sell out the Staples Center. She gave an unforgettable performance that lasted over 4 hours and included many special guest stars. To this day, no other artist in all of regional Mexican music has been able to do what she did. Jenny was nominated for over 100 awards and won 70 of them. She won the award for Best Female Artist 15 consecutive years, and in her honor, that award is no longer given out. Aside from her immensely successful music career, Jenny also owned various businesses, her own clothing and fragrance line, made her acting debut, and produced her own reality show called I Love Jenny, which premiered on NBC Universo as the number 1 most watched television show and spawned 3 spinoffs. In addition to being a savvy businesswoman who was proving every man who had ever told her to stop singing and give up wrong, Jenny was also heavily involved in charity work. She founded the Jenny Rivera Love Foundation for battered women, children, children with cancer, and immigrants. In 2010, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence appointed her its spokesperson in the U.S., and a proclamation was given officially naming August 6th as Jenny Rivera Day by the LA City Council for all her charity work and community involvement. Jenny always sought to be nothing like other artists. She was accessible to and connected with her fans on a personal level. During an interview, Jenny was asked whether or not she had a competition with other artists. Jenny simply responded that her only competition was with herself. Jenny was the type of artist to stop a concert mid-show to talk to a fan. She had the power to make people in the front row and people in the nosebleeds feel like she was singing just for them. Despite all the fame she garnered, she never stopped being humble nor forgot her roots. Her motto was, "I have to do my absolute best in every performance, as if it was my last."
una guerrillera fuerte que por sus hijos luchó. Recuerden muy bien que en vida su madre no se rajó. Con la frente muy en alto, despídanla con honor.
On December 9th, 2012, Jenny Rivera performed an incredible, unforgettable, heartbreaking, and history-making final concert in Monterrey, Mexico. After selling out Tierra Monterrey, Jenny, along with six others, were murdered in a plane crash by the Mexican cartels. Jenny had received various death threats months before from Mexican drug lords because they did not like seeing a woman as successful as she was singing the songs that she did. She doubled her security and continued to perform because she was determined to provide the best life for her children. She did not let herself be controlled by greedy, manipulative men, and instead began preparing for her death. She secretly recorded songs that would be released over a period of time, completely unedited, after her death as a final gift to all her fans. In addition, she finalized her will and spent as much time with her children as she could because, although she didn't know when she was going to die, she knew the time was coming soon. During her final concert, she dedicated a song to her eldest daughter, Chiquis, with whom she had been arguing with for months regarding false rumors about an affair between Chiquis and Jenny's third husband. Jenny's death was a devastating loss to the Mexican community that is still felt to this day. Today, almost 9 years after her untimely passing, she continues to be the most successful artist in all original Mexican music, and no other artist has been, nor will ever be able to accomplish what she did.
Como ya no estás conmigo, voy a celebrar tu olvido. Voy a darle gusto al gusto y bailaré con mis amigos.
Jenny left behind two parents, five siblings, five children, three grandchildren, and millions of fans. She released 13 major studio albums in a span of 10 years and sold over 15 million copies and counting. To this day, new, unheard, and unedited music is being released by her family in her honor, and fans are anxiously awaiting the release of her fully English album and the release of her final banda album. Now, I as well am very much awaiting the release of her fully first English album and the release of her final banda album, but I will say that I am willing to wait as long as it takes because they have said that this is the final content that she left behind, that this once they release the English album and once they release the Spanish album, that's it, that there's nothing left of her that's new that she left behind. So in a way, it's going to be even more heartbreaking. But in the summer of 2019, her family released a never-before-heard song titled Aparentemente Bien, Apparently Fine. It quickly rose to the number one spot on the charts and earned her a billboard in the middle of Times Square. This made Jenny the first artist, not woman again, artist, in all original Mexican music to ever be featured in Times Square. All proceeds for her music go to the Jenny Rivera Love Foundation and to her own children, as Jenny's number one priority was always the well-being of her children.
A los ojos de la gente, hasta puede parecer que soy feliz. Aparentemente bien, que tu adiós me ha hecho más fuerte, que ya no eres importante, que camino hacia adelante.
Jenny left behind a legacy that will never be forgotten. She is a woman who came from absolutely nothing to transforming herself into the most successful artist in all of regional Mexican music, a genre that I cannot stress enough is dominated mostly by men. She never stopped fighting and became an example of strength to everyone around her and a beacon of hope for all her fans who turned to her music during the most difficult times in their lives. Jenny Rivera became such a huge success because every single one of her songs is relatable and you can hear the passion in her voice every time she sings.
Ya no sé
I apologize for how long this podcast was, but I also want to thank you if you listen to the full episode, because Jenny Rivera is without a doubt my absolute favorite artist, one of my icons, and one of the many people I look up to today. Her music, her life story, and her example of strength have gotten me through some of the darkest times in my life, and I'm not going to lie, I have faced backlash from my family, but mainly my father and the male figures, because I listen to her, and she is a woman who sings about men's infidelity and topics related to that. And unfortunately, there are many people today in society that still believe that if you're a male, you should not be listening to females who sing about songs related to that. But if anything, their backlash does not discourage me. It encourages me and motivates me more to listen to her music, because they just don't seem to understand that there are things in my life that I cannot talk to them about. But through her music and through her quotes and her motivation and her life, I've learned how to move on and how to deal with the problems that I have in my life. And it's through her music that I was able to come out of a really difficult time in my life. And I honestly don't know that if I had not discovered her music, where I would be now. It's also really, really important for me to share her music and her story with new people and other people who have not heard of her, because of what she stood for and who she was and her authenticity. I feel that new artists today don't have that authenticity factor that she did. I mean, she was just a down-to-earth person, and she was just so incredibly sweet and generous. And there were so many stories of her that aren't in the media, of her charity work, because she didn't care to call the media. She didn't care to call the paparazzi when she was doing something generous, because she did it out of her heart. There was this one time where she was on a singing competition, and they were asking all the contestants, you know, what they were there for. And there was a woman who came up, and they asked her the question, you know, what do you hope to do if you win the prize money? And she was a singer, and she said that she was born with a hearing condition, and that if she won the money, she was going to put it all towards the surgery to fix her condition. As soon as Jenny heard that, she grabbed the microphone and she told her that on part of her foundation, she was going to give her the entire money for her surgery, regardless of whether she was the winner of the competition or not. And sure enough, the next episode, before they started singing, Jenny made sure to stop what they were doing, and she pulled out the check and she gave it to her, and she told her that she was giving her this check as an investment in herself so that she could believe in herself to continue her dreams. And it's just stories like that that warm my heart and that make me want to tell her story to others. And I consider it an honor to be able to share her story and bring her music to new audiences. And there was there's so many stories that I can't explain, and I wish I could say, but I don't want to make this podcast any longer than it already is. But she always, always, always told people, you don't have to be a singer to be successful. You just need to be passionate about what you're doing and give it your all, and you will be successful. And she brought faith to so many people, so many women, so many children in the Hispanic community, and even outside of the Hispanic community, because, you know, she wasn't a size 2. And I think that is the most important thing about this entire story, is that she faced so much backlash for not being a size 2, for not being a size 0. And because of her age, she wasn't the youngest person. When at the peak of her fame, she was around 43, 44, in her mid-40s. And there was just so many people that doubted her or tried to bring her down, but she never listened to them, and she kept going, and she proved to everyone that you don't need to be skinny or meet societal beauty standards to make it in the world. And I think that is such an amazing and powerful message that needs to be told even today, because there are still so many cases where people believe that they're not good enough because they don't look societal, they don't meet societal beauty standards. And I'm rambling on now, but I think it's an honor for me to be able to share her music, because she was just such an amazing and wonderful, incredible woman who was taken way too soon. And it's extremely important that we continue to tell her story to new generations so that her legacy never dies out. Some of the sources I used for this podcast episode are her autobiography titled Unbreakable, My Story, My Way, which I definitely recommend anyone to read. It is available in both English and Spanish. I also used Mariposa de Barrio, La Serie, which translates to Neighborhood Butterfly, the series. It's an American biographical telenovela that is on Netflix, and it's based on the autobiography that she wrote as well. I also used her reality show, I Love Jenny, which is available to stream on Hulu and for free on Peacock, and I do 100% recommend anyone to watch it, as you will discover even more about her. I did leave out some information about her life, which, yes, I know it sounds very hard to believe, but if I decide to make this podcast a regular thing, I will definitely make another episode with more information about her, focusing on the topics that I didn't really get to discuss, along with other episodes highlighting the impact that Latina artists such as Selena, Becky G, Selena Gomez, Angela Aguilar, and many others have had and continue to have on the world, and the amazing work they've done that the media does not necessarily inform the public of. So to wrap this up, this has been the life of Jenny Rivera. I am your host, Joel Rosales, and I thank you so very much for being here. I hope you have an amazing day, and we'll see you soon. Mariposa de barrio.
Thank you, God.